Today on Dog Pound Report, we've got Dwayne Bowe predicting 2015 greatness. Defensive coordinator Jim O'Neill profiles his bully defense. Matt Wilhelm on mock drafts. And T. West aims for a 1,000-yard season. This is Dog Pound Report.
Good morning and welcome to Dog Pound Report. I'm Andy Baskin, and as he is each and every week, Nathan Zagouras. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Got back from California for a little WrestleMania, and I know you were out in Arizona. How was that?
Man, Arizona was good. We did some Indian stuff, so we'll talk about that later in the show. But look at you. You've been in, you were in California, you were in Florida. Man, you're all over the place.
Trying to. Got to get those vacations in, but I had to be sure that I was here for Dog Pound Report.
Let's talk about the Browns' latest wide receiver signee, Dwayne Bowe. He had some interesting things to say this week on Cleveland Browns Daily.
I'm going to give him something to watch, give him something to come to the game for, just like I did in Kansas City, man, making big plays, getting the crowd into it, spending time in the Dog Pound. You know, just getting that spunk back to where, you know, every game I'm doing something spectacular.
It would be great to see Dwayne Bowe 2010. Might be tough to do, but can we expect something like that?
I don't know if we're going to get that when he had 15 touchdowns. We didn't even throw 15 touchdowns last year as a team, but we're going to get a very productive player that Ray Farmer is familiar with. He was in Kansas City, a part of that personnel department when they drafted Dwayne Bowe in the first round that season. Second all-time for Chiefs in terms of receptions, third for yardage. This is a very productive player, has had at least 57 catches in each of the last 4 years. But you go from that 15-touchdown season, he's had 13 in the 4 seasons since then, none last year. Chiefs didn't even throw a single touchdown to a wide receiver. But Dwayne Bowe is going to thrive in this offense. West Coast principles, big physical guy, can win on those slant routes, can use his body, and that's where he's going to help in the red zone. We didn't have anybody quite like Dwayne Bowe. I think he's got a good chance. 7-8 touchdowns, 60 balls, 800 to 1,000 yards. He is the number one receiver on this team.
Okay, well, you say he's number one. Browns fans want to see this team draft a wide receiver. How does signing Dwayne Bowe affect the draft?
Not at all. Dwayne Bowe is a guy right now who's really on a one-year prove-it deal. Can be a two-year deal if he plays well. But you still need that young guy on the outside. So if a Devontae Parker's there at 12 and Danny Shelton is gone, I think you maybe look at Devontae Parker, the wide receiver out of Louisville, or if Amari Cooper falls. I still think it's a priority. And I think even if the Browns don't draft one in the first round, you could see a receiver go in the second or the third. Again, a deep receiver draft like the year before. You still need some young talent on the outside because your top three are Bowe, Hart, Line and Hawk. We don't have any spring chickens amongst them.
And some tall guys, too. You've got 7 guys that can go in the first round over 6'1"-ish. Let's talk about our next
size.
It's going to be a good one. All right, let's talk about our next topic. The Browns have been fined $250,000, and general manager Ray Farmer will be suspended without pay for the first 4 regular season games of the year. What does this mean?
So in Atlanta, they lost a draft pick because they were trying to gain a competitive advantage, so they were docked a pick. The Browns weren't trying to gain a competitive advantage. The league found that, so they weren't put at a disadvantage in the draft without a pick. What this means is that Ray Farmer will be there for the entire draft. He'll be there for the entire offseason. He'll be there as the Browns set their final 53-man roster. Then his suspension will kick in for the first 4 weeks of the season. I think it's ultimately going to help strengthen his relationship with Mike Pettine, and the Browns are going to be able to move forward, and they'll have good people in place to help kind of steer the ship while Ray Farmer's out for those 4 games.
All right, let's talk about something that's a lot more fun, and the Indians have their first game of the season tomorrow at Houston, and then they will be home on Friday for the home opener. What you may not know is that several of the Browns players in the past were actually drafted by Major League Baseball. Let's talk a little bit about those guys.
Yeah, so Jacoby McDaniel out of Florida State was a third baseman, an all-state player. He was drafted by the Milwaukee Brewers. Jordan Poyer, he's a guy who was an outfielder, a pitcher, played very well. And by the way, if you're at Joe Hayden's softball game, was hitting home runs all over the place, a very productive guy. He was drafted as well in the 42nd round by the Florida Marlins. We know Johnny Manziel was drafted by the San Diego Padres last year. And how about the GM, Ray Farmer himself, drafted not once, but twice by the Seattle Mariners out of high school and then after college, started off at Duke as a two-sport star, shoulder surgery, forced him to football only. But there's a little bit of talent there for the Browns.
He could have been Bo Jackson. What was he thinking?
He could have been Bo Jackson. Bo knows, but now Ray knows.
All right, so just for fun, as we had this conversation, I thought, well, let's take some of the guys that were from the Browns past, maybe some of the guys that are here right now, and make up a team that maybe could compete in Major League Baseball. Again, you got to do a little time warp thing here. So this is the team I came up with. Gene Hickerson, the Hall of Famer. I'm going to have him as my catcher.
I like that.
You good with that?
Yes.
At first base, Al Bubba Baker. Could you imagine how far he could hit the baseball?
He's going to give you some home runs and some ribs.
All right, back up the middle, I'll go with 2 current players. I'll go with Joe Hayden at second base. You know, you saw him in the softball game last year, pretty outstanding. He can hit.
Absolutely, he can hit, and we know he can cover. He's going to man that, turn the 2 with Johnny Manziel. Am I wrong?
No, you're right, Johnny Manziel. We'll take him at shortstop because he was drafted by the Padres. Dave Logan. the tight end that Brian Sipe used to love to throw to. We'll take him. The Reds drafted him to either be a pitcher or an infielder. Now, listen to my outfield because I think you'll like this. Eric Metcalf in right field. Imagine how
love
fast
that.
He would be there.
Yes.
In center field, you got to go with Jim Brown. The Indians actually offered him a contract at one point.
The GOAT.
It'd be nice to see that. All right, how about Reggie Rucker? You may not think about it, but Reggie really had a chance to go on and play Major League Baseball at one point. The guy once hit a 400-foot home run against Harvard while playing for Boston University.
This is a team that's going to swipe a lot of bases. There's going to be a lot of speed and a lot of power. I like it.
All right, well, that's fantasy baseball, and that's it would be kind of fun. I'm sure you'll be doing that at home as well. All right, when we come back, oh, I forgot about Brandon Whedon. He'd be our pitcher.
He would be the pitcher. Slow, deliberate, and he probably can throw a mean heater, the high, hard one.
It'd be interesting. All right, enough with baseball. Let's talk a little bit more football. Dog Pound Report returns right after this.
Coming up next, burning draft day questions answered and defensive coordinator Jim O'Neill.
Welcome back to Dog Pound Report, and joining us is Nate Ulrich from the Akron Beacon Journal and Ohio.com. Hey, thanks for taking time to speak with us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
All right, let's get right into the draft. What are the Browns' top needs?
Well, I think quarterback remains the team's greatest position of need, but ultimately they're not going to get one in the first round unless they trade up for Oregon's Marcus Mariota. I think that's improbable, but not impossible. I don't think you can shut the door completely on it, but you know, if you stay at number 12, which is the more likely scenario, I think the Browns are looking at probably three positions. I'd say their nose tackle, pass rushing outside linebacker, and wide receiver. I think those are the most likely positions they target with their first pick in the first round.
All right, Nate, I know you've written about the topic recently. I know you talked about it just a little bit, but really, what do you think the quarterback situation is going to look like when the season starts?
Well, I think the Browns will head into training camp with Josh McCown penciled in as their starting quarterback. You know, the money that they're giving him indicates that's the case. There's so much unknown surrounding Johnny Manziel right now, and they have to see how that's all going to play out. So I think they're really looking at Josh McCown as their starting quarterback heading into the season and serving as a bridge to whoever the next guy is, whether they make that, you know, unlikely trade up for Marcus Mariota in the draft, whether they pick another guy, you know, maybe in the second or third round and try to develop him a little bit, or whether it is Johnny Manziel, whether he can, you know, get things together and be a guy for them in the future. But I do think right now, the way it looks is Josh McCown is going to serve as that bridge, and it might be the outcome of a quarterback competition in training camp, but I ultimately think that he is the favorite heading into week one as the starter.
With the loss of Jordan Cameron, the biggest hole on offense is at tight end, specifically a pass-catching tight end. What should the Browns do there?
Well, I think tight end is definitely one of the biggest positions of need for the Browns. I didn't mention it as a possibility in the first round just because I don't think there's a surefire slam dunk prospect in this year's draft class who's worthy of a first-round draft pick. But the Browns pick 43rd overall. That's the 11th pick in the second round. I think they could really go for a tight end right there. They have Jim Dre. They have Gary Barnage on the roster still. And those guys are two solid veteran players. But when you lose Jordan Cameron, you really lose the threat of a big-time playmaker. And I think the Browns could use a tight end who poses that threat as a receiver. Max Williams is a guy that I studied and wrote about in a story that appeared in today's newspaper. He's from Minnesota, has NFL pedigree. His dad was a first-round pick, played for the Giants as a center. So this guy knows what it's like to be in the NFL from, you know, looking at his dad's life. And, you know, a lot of people think highly of him. And he is that receiving threat.
All right, with all things considered, ultimately, what do the Browns have to do to have a successful 2015?
Well, for the Browns to be successful in 2015, I think you just need to look back at what they did well in 2014. I mean, this team was 6-3 and in first place in the AFC North at one point. They were also 7-4 at another point before things unraveled. So I think the Browns really have to get back to running the ball. Alex Mack should be healthy by the start of the regular season. They've got two young running backs they like in Terrence West and Isaiah Crowell. They have a new offensive coordinator, but he wants to keep a lot of the same zone blocking principles that they used last season because they worked well when everybody was healthy. On the other side of the ball, they've got to stop the run. They finished 32nd out of 32 teams against the run, and that's a huge detriment when you're playing in the AFC North, when teams like to pound it, control the clock, in cold weather cities. So stopping the run's a huge emphasis, and I think that's exactly why you could see them add a nose tackle in the draft.
We're certainly going to hear from Browns defensive coordinator Jim O'Neill later in the show. Yes, stopping the run is a big point of emphasis. Nate, what do you have coming up at the Akron Beacon Journal?
Well, the story I wrote for today's paper about Minnesota tight end Max Williams actually kicks off a preview series of draft prospects we do each year. We kind of look around at possibilities for the Browns and feature those players. So there will be more of that coming next Sunday and each subsequent Sunday leading up to the draft. And then the week of the draft, we'll have several stories as well.
Thanks, Nate. Great stuff. And stay tuned, folks. The Dog Pound Report will be right back. Coming up next, defensive coordinator Jim O'Neill tells us who is expecting the most out of this season. And we talk about who the Browns will target with the 12th overall pick.
Welcome back to Dog Pound Report. Joining us now, Matt Wilhelm, Nathan's partner on Cleveland Browns Daily.
My man.
Looking smooth, isn't he, with that new fresh haircut?
Thank you. I try. You know, it's hard work and somebody's got to do it, right, guys?
The fresh helmet is tight.
A lot of hair sitting on a barber's chair, but we'll talk about that later. Hey, you guys had a chance earlier this week to hear from defensive coordinator Jim O'Neill on Cleveland Browns Daily to kind of set the tone for what he wants the defense to look like next year.
We want to be a cutting-edge scheme built around old-school philosophies. And in order to do that, you got to stop the run.
Yep.
We want to build a bully on defense. We want to be the team that nobody wants to play. And to build a bully, you got to be able to stone people in the run game. And that's where all of our focus has gone as a staff. That's where we're going to start day one with our guys when they're back here in 2 weeks. And we've attacked it. You know, we've had long days. You know, what can I do better? What can we do better as a coaching staff? How can we put these guys in position to be more successful? Because when you stop the run, now we can be exotic, and now we can go punish your quarterback. And that's what we're looking to do. And that's a step that we have to take in order to build that bully that we talk about in the AFC North.
All right, we all know what the AFC North's about, but explain the bully to me, Matt, because what exactly is that, a person or is that a philosophy?
Well, in today's NFL, the offense usually sets the tone. They come out with certain schemes, certain formations, and the defense is in a very reactive state. When you're the bully, you're saying, we want you to run, we're built to stop it. And then also, too, when you drop that back to pass, we've got the best playmakers on the back end, and we're going to rush you, and we're going to force you out of the pocket, and we're going to have you eaten out of our hand. That's being a bully in the National Football League.
And that's participating in the AFC North.
And it's part of setting an attitude and a tone. When somebody sees Cleveland on the schedule, they don't want to go play them. They know they're going to get their nose busted in. They're going to get knocked down. They won't be helped up. And you talk about that's what you're doing up front, the tone you're setting. Then you're getting after the quarterback. And on the back end, you have three Pro Bowlers back there in your secondary cleaning things up. So this has the makings of a dominant defense. And I think that's what Jim O'Neill wants it to be, a feared, respected, and revered defense.
All right. Also on your show, he singled out two guys in particular that he wants to see more out of next season.
Well, I'm really excited to see Mingo perform in year two. You know, he got dinged with that shoulder injury the second play of the season. So, and I really liked the way he was coming on in the preseason and through training camp. And that was just unfortunate. So he's a guy I'm really excited about. I would say the next guy that I'm excited about just because of how well he finished the year is probably Pierre Desir. He's got such a pro mentality already for such a young guy. We called on him at the end of the year, and he was a guy that we were kind of counting on just redshirting all year.
Sure.
He was a part of the 53, but he never would have been up on game day. And, we had some injuries. We threw him in there, and he played really well. And, one of the big question marks was he going to stick his face in there in the run game? And he showed that he would.
Two guys with high hopes. First, let's start with Pierre Desir. Play like a Brown, I think he did exactly what the coaching staff wanted last year. He talked about that redshirt year where they needed him. How'd you think he stepped up at the end?
I think it was a consummate professional. You know, he waited his turn. He was of the mindset that he was going to wait, that he was not going to play. But yet he came to practice every day, as we know, Nathan, and practiced picking the balls off, making it difficult on Brian Hoyer or Johnny Manziel, whoever it was playing quarterback for the Cleveland Browns, just giving them a great look and earned a spot at the end of the year when his number was called.
You love him.
I love him. When Jim O'Neill said that, he knows I was fired up because I'm like the president of the Pierre Desir fan club. People call up and give me crap about that all the time. But this is a guy who came in with injuries, shut down Mohamed Sanu in the second half against Cincinnati. Then you go on the road in Carolina, starts against Kelvin Benjamin, who is having a phenomenal rookie season, a big guy, holds him under 50 yards, couple pass breakups, including in the end zone. He's a guy, consummate professional, and I think that's what he was talking about, that maturity. He's married, he's got kids, and another one on the way. Pierre Desir has a crazy story, an odyssey that got him to the NFL. He doesn't take anything for granted. And that number two cornerback battle, Tremont Williams, the number one, the first pick last year, Justin Gilbert, and Pierre Desir is going to be fun to watch in camp. Don't count out Pierre Desir.
All right, another thing that Browns fans want to see next year, and it's a way for the Browns to definitely improve and build that bully, is to stop the run. Everybody wants to see it. Here's what he had to say about that.
Just as a team overall, we're going to surprise people. And on defense, we talked about building the bully, and Pet talked about willing to bloody your nose in the AFC North. We're going to be a tough defense. We're gonna knock people down. We're not going to help them up. We're going to stop the run. And I'm going to say that again. We will stop the run next year on defense, and we're going to earn the right to rush the quarterback. And when we do earn that right, we're going to hit teams' quarterbacks.
That's what we're
going to be about defense. But we're going to build a dominating, intimidating group that the dog pound can be proud of and that they can go crazy out on third down for.
We will stop the run. Big words for a team that definitely needs to stop the run. He kind of set the stage, though, to let you know. I don't know if he's telling us what's going to happen in the draft, but defense is a priority again.
Of course it's a priority. When you want to be that dominant, you need to have those guys on the D-line. Now, they're moving Phil Taylor into the nose tackle. Randy Starks is going to come play the 3 technique. You got Dez Bryant at the 5 technique. You still get coming back John Hughes from injury, Armani Bryant from injury. You've also got Billy Wynn, Ishmaili Kitchen. So you've got depth, and it looks good, but I think they want that massive disruptor in the middle. So I think come draft day, if Danny Shelton from Washington is on the board, 80 tackles, 16 and a half for loss, 8.5 sacks from a nose tackle position. If that guy's on the board at 12, I think he comes to the Cleveland Browns.
I absolutely agree. He's a disruptor. He makes everybody's life easy in that front seven.
Frees it up for you,
man. Frees it up for guys like me. You know, again, the attention in the middle will allow Paul Kruger and Barkevious Mingo to get one-on-one blocks. So it'd be a great choice, and this defense would skyrocket with a guy like Danny Shelton.
And we heard him talk about Barkevious Mingo earlier. And just this is a guy who played last year injured, played like a Brown. And now he has both arms back. He really played without a right arm. I think he's going to be counted on with the departure of Jabal Sheard to play a big role opposite Paul Kruger, and I think he's going to thrive in his third season.
All right, I know you guys have been tearing it up with the mock draft, but what you're saying, though, is defense with the first pick and then wide receiver, and don't be disappointed if they don't take a wide receiver with the first
pick. I'm okay with going defense, defensive line, then an edge rusher. I think that's the second biggest priority on this team. And then when you got Dwayne Bowe, you got Hartline, you got Hawk, I feel pretty good about our receiving core, especially compared to where it was last year. Where's the hole? It's tight end. Could that be Max Williams from Minnesota in the second round if he makes it there? Or how about Devin Funchess from Michigan, a guy who many say is a receiver, but I think he plays that move tight end position in the NFL, and I'd love him to slide into that spot.
Absolutely. And I know the mindset, and Jim O'Neill shared this with us this week, is that the two picks in the first round and the one pick early in the second round, we've got to go get 3 starters.
Yep.
So a Danny Shelton would be an immediate starter. A pass rusher would immediately start opposite Paul Kruger. And a wide receiver potentially in the second round would be mixed in as a starter as well.
That's why I say no O-linemen early. You can get interior line depth later in this draft. It's deep.
All right, boys, thank you very much. Thanks for coming on the show again this week.
You got it. Thanks for having me.
And we'll be looking for all your draft stuff at ClevelandBrowns.com, and we'll be sure to check you guys out on the radio on Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR. Hang on, Dog Pound. We've got more to come right after this.
Coming up next on Dog Pound Report, one Browns player works towards a record season and our weekly predictions.
You know, I think it's going to work out great for this defense, and we're going to be confident when we step on the field. We're going to know what we're doing, and we're going to play fast, and that's bottom line how you want to play. And I think this year we should make some major strides and be the team that we should have been last year.
Welcome back, Dog Pound. We've covered the Browns documenting their offseason workouts, but Terrence West has been working out with an obvious goal in mind. It's every running back's goal to get that 1,000-yard season, and the Browns have a great history in the running back position. This year marks, and I can't believe it, the 30th anniversary for the historic 2,000-yard season shared by Browns alums Kevin Mack, and Ernest Biner. Can we see T. West and the Crow fly this year to that same milestone this season? It's tough.
It is tough, but they did something that hadn't been done since the 60s when there were two rookie running backs both running for over 600 yards. They did that last year. Now you want to ratchet it up, get to 1,000 yards. If you look back, when Alex Mack was in the lineup, the Browns rushed for over 100 yards in four of those first five games. If they can get to 2,000, maybe they can each pick up 1,000. They're very competitive. Running backs coach Wilbert Montgomery is thrilled to see these guys come battle out. They both want to be the man, but I think if this is a team that's going to play great D and run the football, there's room for both of them to get a lot of carries. I like the difference in their styles. T. West, a little bit shiftier, does a little more dancing. And Crow, he gets north-south in a hurry, and he can break off some big runs.
It's a great goal, because if you can get two backs to 1,000 yards, that normally means postseason. It's got to mean postseason.
It means you're winning. Yes. It means you're winning, and that's what the Browns certainly want to be doing.
Finally, it's time for our weekly predictions, where we tell you what we are convinced is going to happen next week. Nathan, you're first.
Well, last week I said that The Miz was going to win the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal at WrestleMania, and he would have. He would have brought that back to Cleveland, but his personal assistant, Damian Mizdow, turned on him. The audacity of that man. But this week, what I'm going to tell you is the Browns are going to stop the run in 2015. You hear me? We're going to stop the run.
All right, here is my prediction for this week. Opening day, everyone's going to be downtown. It's Cleveland's national holiday, the Tribe home opener. It's going to rain in the morning. It's going to be raw and cold throughout the day, but I will predict an Indians victory for everybody at that sellout crowd on Friday.
All right, I like the Indians victory, but you said the weather was turning last week and we didn't have to deal with this anymore.
I am no Mark Johnson.
And do you want to be a weatherman, though?
No, I have no. Yeah,
that's
because
two
you can
weather
be wrong.
Predictions back to back.
You could be wrong half the time and people will still trust you the next day. Did I say that?
Yes. No, you didn't. I didn't hear it.
Maybe I shouldn't.
Are these things on?
All right, Dog Pound, thanks for joining us this week. Make sure you tune in to Nathan on Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 and then me right here 6 and 11 throughout the week on News Channel 5 and on 92.3 The Fan from 10 to 2 with my good friend Jeff Phelps. Have a great week. Take us home.
That's right. Happy holidays. And folks in Cleveland, remember, we bark together on the Dog Pound Report.